saying nothing, lying where the sun is, baking down upon our sighs. My lips touch you with their soft, wet kisses. Your hands gentle.
Welcome back to the Bruce Allen Show, A Dad's Point of View. I just did a off-camera, off-radio rant to my next guest, Sherilyn Laban, and I will publicly apologize, Sherilyn. I didn't get to hear a word you said because I just kept on going on and on about my anger over what's been going on recently with the Zimmerman verdict and some of the responses. Anyway, Sherilyn Laban is with us for Political Talk. She's the co-chairman of the Project 21 National Advisory Board and so much more. I'm going to let you know more about her later because I just want to get to talking with her. Welcome back to the show, Sherilyn. I've really missed you.
It is great to be on with you, Bruce. We're experiencing a very hot week in Washington, D.C.
Literally and figuratively, I'm sure you meant.
Figuratively, it seems this has been the summer of scandal, so it's been hot the whole time. But temperature-wise, hot this week.
It's been similarly hot here, but at least it cools off on the West Coast. You guys suffer all night long, too. I was telling you some of my I didn't let you get a word in edgewise, my passion about the reaction to the Zimmerman verdict and some of the issues regarding suppression of evidence on one side, manipulation of evidence on the same side, and what I see is lack of leadership from not only our president, but various sections of our community. And I really would like your take on it as a black woman that has a lot of political credentials, a lot more than me.
Well, I think it's important for a lot of listeners to understand there's a couple of misinformation that keeps floating out there. First of all, I think it's important for people to know that the local DA, the county DA for Sanford, Florida, as well as the FBI were brought in to investigate initially when this happened. They investigated to whether it was a hate crime. They investigated in terms of whether there was enough evidence to even charge George Zimmerman, and they declined. Okay?
Wait. They finished their investigation. They interviewed, 36 people that knew him, none of whom had the least negative comment about him as far as racism.
Nope.
The fact that he had brought in black children into his home, had mentored them, had taken a black woman to his prom. This is obviously the signs of a racist.
Right. So they declined because there just wasn't enough evidence.
I'm so glad that Eric Holder is looking at it again and going to review it because obviously they must have done a lousy job.
Obviously. So Angela Corey, who is the prosecutor who eventually prosecuted Zimmerman during the trial.
You mean the one that decided to use a loophole so there'd be no grand jury that would also come to the same conclusion? Oh, that's the one you mean. Okay.
That one. She was essentially a special prosecutor, okay? So she's a special prosecutor brought in to prosecute George Zimmerman, although other entities had decided that there was not enough evidence.
The local police department, the FBI, unimportant
county
entities
DA,
like that.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So here you have a case brought to trial that was weak from the very beginning. And one almost guesses that the reason why this case was even brought to trial was to appease what I would call the race hustlers, the Jesse Jacksons, the Al Sharptons, those type, who have been doing quite a bit of demonstrating down in Florida. I'm sure you've heard that DOJ has played a role, and specifically the community. It's called the Community Dispute Resolution Service. Basically, they are supposed to be going out in the communities and mediating race problems.
Let's not forget that our president said that if he had a son, he would look like Trayvon Martin. So he didn't inject his opinion into it at all or any bias.
So DOJ's Community Relations Service was down in Florida trying to essentially drum up trouble on these sorts of issues. So, so here you have a situation that became racially charged, and it seems as though Angela Corey felt that despite these, because of these pressures, not despite, because of these pressures, she was going to prosecute George Zimmerman. And the result is, frankly, what I had expected, that he was going to be found not guilty. And I think it's also important for your listeners to note that they didn't even convict him on the lesser charge of manslaughter, which, frankly, I thought that was a much stronger possibility. But they didn't even convict him on that. So that's pretty important to note because, of course, manslaughter had a lower burden of proof, and they didn't even see that that was even workable. Okay? And as you probably remember during the trial, the six jurors did ask for more specific instructions on manslaughter. Okay, so that to me was pretty telling.
Well, it also tells me that they were very careful and concerned about doing
careful.
Right.
Very
they,
careful.
Considered.
Very careful.
They were considered in. The, it wasn't a snap decision.
Right.
And it was six women. So and five of whom were mothers.
Well,
so obviously,
five
there's be,
of them were mothers.
Right. Right.
Right. So the other thing. So that was one point that I think it's important for your listeners to know. The other point is this whole discussion on stand your ground.
Well,
and
you
people
know,
are continuing.
Because
let,
we don't have
just
a lot
let
of.
Me finish, Bruce.
Okay, okay. I, but I want to get to the post verdict while we have time. So finish with the stand your ground.
All right. So it's stand your ground, and now Eric Holder is calling for an examination of stand your ground laws. Here's the important thing. Stand your ground was not even an issue.
It wasn't even brought in, yeah.
In this
I know.
Case. Wasn't even brought in. So why are we talking about stand your ground? So
But Stevie Wonder isn't going to perform there anymore. I'm really relieved.
Yeah. Yeah. So Stevie Wonder is not going to perform there. Okay, fine. Absolutely. So you want to talk about post-verdict.
And the post-verdict reactions. Yes, please.
Yes. So post-verdict reactions, I think, have pretty much been what we've expected. The left is saying, oh, this is horrible. This is setting back race relations. The other side is saying, you know what, we don't understand why, because there wasn't enough to convict this guy in the first place.
And race was never brought into the trial.
Race was never brought in. And the fact that so much hate has been going on in social media, Facebook and Twitter, it's just really alarming to me. The new Black Panther Party, this gentleman named Khalid Muhammad, I believe is his name, he was in a video, or was videotaped, him saying, George Zimmerman is a no-good Jew. Well, first of all, he's Hispanic.
He's a white Hispanic, by the way. We got it. We have a new term now, white Hispanic. Are there black African-Americans, I guess? I guess there are black African-Americans and
white
Hispanics.
Apparently.
Yeah, okay.
And so I decided to tweet that out, Bruce.
Mm-hmm.
And the kind of my preface to that was just simply, no words, right? I said no words. And you would now believe how quickly my Twitter feed filled up with just horrible, hateful things.
I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry.
And, you know, that's really unfortunate. And to me, it really hit close to home how these people, the race hustlers, those that are of that ilk, really feel about this case.
Now, of course,
and
you're...
how much hatred they have for others who have another perspective.
Yeah, and you, of course, have no credibility. You're a mother of two, and you're a black African-American. I guess that's a new term now. You're a black African-American.
And I'm a lawyer who happens to understand how the law works.
Okay, so you have no credibility. I mean, absolutely none. I mean, gosh.
So
you deserve hate, not just respectful dialogue. I mean, I have no problem with people who disagree. It's just the name-calling and the hate and the lynch mob attitude towards Zimmerman, you know, and towards anyone that disagrees with this narrative. It's appalling.
Right. So it's going to be very interesting to see what comes of this, what more develops. But this is a serious problem. And if, in fact, DOJ continues to pursue federal civil rights actions against George Zimmerman, I think what they're continuing to do is continuing to keep the open wound on race relations going. That is exactly how I feel.
Well, I think I think our president has done everything to keep those wounds festering. And I doubt, do you have any hope that he'll come out and do anything to ask for calm in response to all that's been going on? I mean, there's a lot of rioting in my hometown.
Unfortunately, Bruce, I just don't think so, unfortunately. Sadly, I don't think there's much hope there. Very sadly, I'm sorry to say.
Well, he's got some good travel plans ahead, and he's been giving out awards lately. I'm sure there's a library that needs naming, so he is dealing with the important stuff right now.
Right, right, right. Meanwhile, unemployment is still at record high numbers, right?
Mm-hmm.
And again, as we remember from last November, it's been many years that a president had been reelected with unemployment numbers that high, and he managed to pull it off. It's truly astounding. He managed to pull it off.
Well, he did.
And
it,
I laugh now, but you know, if you don't laugh, you'll cry. Right?
Well, where's the hope? I mean, I'm really discouraged. As I told you on the break, I'm dealing with some personal stuff that has me a little bit down. But putting that aside, that'll all work out. I'm discouraged. I really haven't been this discouraged in a while. It's hard. I mean, talking to people like you gives me hope because you represent a group of and I have a guest on Dad Chat tonight who's also somebody really cool, not political at all, but I hope you can come, by the way. It's Hip Hop for Dummies at Dad Chat tonight with a real expert, a guy named Jerry Dobie, who's a father of 10, I might add, and the executive editor of the Hype magazine. So it's going to be really fun. But where can I find hope? Please give me and my listeners some hope.
Well, I think that the hope can be found in ordinary, common-sense Americans who are saying, this doesn't work for me. They're going to the polls. They're voting out their representatives who aren't working for them. They're voting out policies that don't work for them. I'll give you an example. The First Lady's school lunch rules, this has kind of been the first year that they've been implemented.
Mm-hmm.
In Indiana, you have a school district that lost $300,000 because they didn't want to adhere to the school lunch rules. Why, Bruce? They said the kids weren't eating the food. The kids are hungry. The kids were throwing the food in the garbage. And guess what? It's also been discovered that in order for schools to make up for the shortfall of adhering to these rules, now they're holding junk food bake sales to make up for the shortfall.
Oh, that's hysterical. That's hysterical.
Isn't that hysterical?
Oh,
so what you're finding is everyday parents, everyday citizens are saying, you know what? This stuff just doesn't work for us. It doesn't work. We don't like it. And they are standing standing up to these rules and saying, this doesn't work. It doesn't work for us. It doesn't work for our family. So therefore, no thanks, but no thanks.
Well,
and
hopefully they'll make...
Find,
I hope. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I think you're going to find that more people are going to start to react.
You mean vote differently,
that gives
hopefully.
Me hope.
Yeah, okay.
Yes, that gives me hope that people recognize that these are policies, these are nanny state policies that they don't like, and they're not going to adhere to them.
I hope you're right. Right, we're almost out of time, and the only thing that on top of all this that concerns me is that the more that they can keep the Zimmerman trial and verdict in the public view, the more they can ignore the scandals that were really dominating all of our attention. So I think it behooves them.
There's enough Tea Party groups and people out there who aren't going to let that die because there's lawsuits that are, you know, resulting from this. So I don't think they're going away, and they're going to keep that stuff going.
Well, thank God for you. Thank you for being back on the show. I really hope you can join us tonight because we're going to have fun tonight, and I need some fun at Dad Chat.
Oh, good. Well, as always, it's great to be with you, Bruce.
Okay, and where can my listeners find you real quickly?
They can find me on Twitter at Harley, H-A-R-L-E-Y, Laban, L-E, capital B as in boy, O-N.
Okay, and follow her and give her some support on Twitter, particularly in light of what she told us at the beginning of this segment, which is very troubling. I love you. I love what you're about, and I look forward to talking with you next week, Harley.
Thank you, Bruce. Take care.
Okay. Stay tuned for Pastor Drew Sands. We're going to go lighter and talk about teenagers after these breaks.
In your hand, but like the wind that covers our land, strong enough to rule the heart of any man, this thing called love. It can lift you up. It can let you down. Take your world, turn it all around. Ever since time, nothing's ever been found that's stronger than love.